Good morning. This is the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with an interesting experiment for some of our monks. Our monks were each asked to write, what were you asked to write?
I was asked to write, why are birthdays important?
Seville, what were you asked to write?
What does it mean for a newborn baby to be born?
And Christy, what were you asked to write?
She's laughing.
Just read your title, whatever it may be.
Why I like to celebrate the birth of a newborn baby.
Why I like to what?
Celebrate.
Yeah. The birth of a newborn baby.
A newborn baby.
Yeah, okay. And
the value to celebrate the birth of a baby.
And your title is supposed to be what?
My title is Beloved Baby.
Obviously. Now, I would like each one of you to take this teddy bear and hold it in your arms like you might a newborn baby. And then see how it sounds reading to the newborn baby what you have read that you're going to say to a newborn baby. And let's see how intelligent you expect that newborn baby to be. Of course, it's your reflection, so anything and goes. Now, Ingeborg, put all... Just a minute. You got to wait till the director says go. Put all your heart and soul and being into it and read it. She's got five lines here. And put everything into it and put a lot of pizzazz into it and a lot of schmaltz into it. Okay, here we go. Ingeborg, your newborn baby.
Beloved baby, you are so wonderful. Finally, I lovingly hold you in my arms. What a blessed moment is that for me. You are a wonderful miracle of life. You are a genius. You know who you are. You are God. God you are. I love you very much.
See, she even ad-libbed it very much in there. Which is good. It's a start, but now let's put a little more volume in there, a little more pizzazz in there, a little more imagination. Now, Sybil, what are you going to say to this newborn baby that you're taking now in your arms? You're going, and by the way, Sybil, I didn't ask Ingeborg, but Ingeborg, what was the name of your baby?
Valentina.
Hi. That's a good name. Now, Sybil, what is your newborn baby?
My newborn baby.
Nameless, huh?
Wanda.
Wonderful. Yes. Okay, that's a good name for a newborn baby. Okay, now, both arms. Now, remember, you got to hold that neck there because that baby's neck is just, you know, a couple moments old, you know. Yes. Oh, goodness sakes. Wanda. I'm afraid I wouldn't hire you in my hospital, but okay, go ahead.
My title is, what does it mean for a newborn baby to be born? For a newborn baby to be born, it means that a new thought has been released to express itself as an is. That thought is the original thought and is in its pristine purity and integrity, a first thought. A pure thought. The baby, the product of this pure thought, is perfect, unique, ideal, fantastic, a genius. This baby is pure love, perfection, all intelligent, all knowing, truth, and is pure consciousness that knows its creative cause. This baby, be my creation, my reflection, is my pure white light of love and is surrounded by my pure white light of love. It is immersed in peace. This baby is uninhibited, unlimited, and has no tradition or culture. It just is. It is a now master. With this baby in the world expresses in a most beautiful way. There is balance in all dimensions of activity, because the baby comes just as an is, being itself and having fun. Mm-hmm. It comes knowing only itself and its creative cause. It is the principle, and uses principle and expresses as principle. So, the world is divine. The world is orderly, stable, harmonious, illumined, and without judgment. A free spirit is released into the world. The world is filled with joy, happiness, love, and peace. There is perfect understanding, and we have an ideal world.
All right, Sybil, do it once again now. This time, talk to the baby. You're talking about the baby. Now you want to talk to the baby and say, what's the baby's name?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You are in my arms. Wonderful. You are the principal. Wonderful. You are. So just make it all wonderful. And remember, you're talking to the baby, not about the baby. You know?
Okay. This says
about. And you can do it.
Wonderful.
Super. Oh, that's just great.
You are born today new. You have come into my world, my beautiful world, as all important, all unique, all fantastic. You're intelligent. You're a genius. I love you. You are just that which makes me happy. You bring peace into my world. You bring unconditional love into my world. You are fantastic. You are magnificent. You are just an ace. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Good start.
Yeah.
Good start. Christy, take the device there. Hold it on the bottom. And tell us how you, and take the baby in your arms too. I mean, you gotta have the baby in your arms. You gotta have four or five arms, you know. Okay, now, tell that baby exactly what you think about its coming into the world.
Oh, dear divine baby, I love to hold you in my arms and give you a kiss. I love you. I love you. Thank you for coming into my world. This is why I like to celebrate the birth of a newborn baby divine, my darling baby. I am a creator of my world, and my world is a reflection of me. This can be identified with the newborn baby divine, my newborn baby. Babies are for the whole world. My world is what I am. Hence, I like to celebrate and welcome this divine newborn baby into my world. You came into my world by your choice. You are godsend to me. You are godsend to the whole world. Everything about you, baby divine, is great. It's marvelous. You bring unconditional love that you are into my world. Purity and perfection. Original purity and integrity. You bring joy to the world around you. Your vibration as a child manifests.
Let's start that over again, Christy. You are telling this little baby how much you love him, how much it is your creation, how much you think that it is bringing, it is an expression of your divinity, of your love for all the world, and its life is going to continue to be that expression of you who created it, of you who see it lovely, of you.
You see, there's not something outside of you that created the baby. There's not something outside of you that the baby is going to live up to. There's not a world out there. The baby is just going to be itself and have fun and just go through life being the miracle expression of peace and joy and love. Now, that's that's what you want to say to the baby, that you do say it, but you end up having the baby have a responsibility. The baby has no responsibility. His only responsibility, if any, is just to sit and listen to you. You are telling the baby how much you love him, or her, or whichever. And what is the name of your baby? You didn't even tell us.
Divine.
Huh?
Divine.
Yvette?
Divine.
Divine.
Divine. Oh, I see. Yeah, okay, that's a good name. Divine. Well, little Divine. That's hard to make it into a cuddly name. A Divine-y. my little cuddly, but anyhow, that's okay.
Dee Dee,
yeah. Doctor Divinity.
So,
now, take over and come in from the beginning, but come in with the idea that you are a bubble of love, and you're showering that love on the baby. You are. And you're showering the love on the baby, and you're saying, I see you fabulous, I see you wonderful, I love you, you're great, you're the most marvelous thing that has ever happened to this world of ours. You are unconditional love, whatever you're saying, but you're announcing it to the baby that that's what the baby is, because that's what you have created, okay? You want to have fun with that?
That's right.
Go for it. Loud and clear. Divine,
welcome to the world. Why I like to celebrate the birth of you, Divine.
Speak from the heart.
You are the creator of your own world. I like to celebrate your...
Now, just a minute. We're going to make it easier for you. Seville, take your paper. Now, I would like you, in just a few words, to tell that little monkey shine, that little teddy bear, that little baby that's lying in your arms, and don't put the mic against his body, the little baby that's lying in your arms, why you're so happy that it has been born and come into your world. Now, say it right from your heart, and say why you are so happy that you created that baby, and that it is in your world, and what great, not expectation, but what great exploration it's going to have in being itself and having fun, you know? Nice?
Yeah. Hello, Divine.
Nice.
Welcome to the world.
Loud.
Welcome to the world of peace and harmony. You have created yourself to come into our world.
No. You created him to come into your world. He didn't have anything to do with it. He is your creation. He didn't have anything to do with coming in your world. You created him. You are the creator. You're the only creator in this world. You want to ask Sybil about that. She'll tell you. You're the only creator in this world. And nobody else is the creator in this world except you. And because you're the only creator in this world, you're the only person in this world who has any power to do anything at all. And blah, blah. It's okay.
Hello, darling Duff.
See, you just let it go and be yourself. Just fly away.
Hello, darling Divine.
That's okay.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
You are the sunshine of my world. Welcome to the land of honey, harmony, abundance. I am a good creator to create you into my world.
What a glorious person I am. What a good creator I am. I am myself.
Come on, keep this instead of praising the baby. Stop praising the baby.
My world, I love you. I love you, divine. I love you. What can I do without you?
No. You're putting a burden on it, my dear. Be yourself and have fun, my dear precious angel. That's all that you have to do with your entire life, is be yourself. That's the way I created you, because that's the way I am, seeing myself and have fun. I love you.
Okay, let's.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. She needs a reprieve. Okay. Now, Sylvia, what are you going to say to this baby that you're holding in your arms? Now, Sylvia, say something. Don't just smuggle him.
Welcome, my wonderful little Delina. Ah, it's so good to hold you in my arms, to look into your blue eyes that just sparkle and are pure heaven, pure joy. And that's what I see in you. And look at you, you smile. You smile because you know something that I might have already forgotten, you think. Oh. No. We are God and you are God, and you came as a genius. You came as peace and love and all that is good in this world. And I look at you and I find that in me, and that's why you are so precious to me, because I can see all the goodness, the whole world of goodness in you. And okay, I just snuggle you and love you, and I see you being yourself and having fun in this world that we share. And it's a wonderful world, and it's a greater world just because you are here. And so it is. Have fun.
Now, Giggly, take the mic.
Pristine. Welcome, Pristine, in my world. I am the creator of really a precious, precious angel. An angel of beauty. An angel of peace. An angel of unconditional love. Golly, you express so much peace. I just feel so good holding you in my arms and snuggle you and kiss you and love you. I would never let you go again, because so much beauty is expressed in you. I love you, and I'm always here, and I'm always one as you, my precious pristine.
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
If I were this baby and loved in these various ways, I would be quite confused. I mean, my first 10 minutes on earth, and I get all this garbage of what you have been brought up with in all your lives. Now Ellen says, I'll never let you go. Well, you can tell that somewhere in Ellen's life she was abandoned, you know. And so now she's telling the baby that it won't be abandoned, but she's putting into its mind the thought.
And
all of you had a tendency to look at the baby as something outside of you. Now, when your love is unconditional and so complete, you just surround it, enfold it, and it's just you. It's just you. And that little child, he doesn't feel any need for any purpose at all. He just has the joy of being in your arms, of being in your love. A little child just snuggles next to its mother. It doesn't know why. But it does that because it's a natural thing to do. Because the mother exudes love. The mother exudes the joy of having that child there.
The child can never be in the way. The child's hanging on the mother's leg while she's trying to do something, you know, and the mother doesn't think a thing about it. The child sits on the mother's lap while she's trying to sew or cook or do dishes, and the mother says, "That's my baby, you know, that's my baby." And you see, that total inclusiveness is so beautiful, and it's something that we just don't know. And the reason we don't know is one simple little thing. We haven't learned how to love ourselves.
Yeah.
Because if we learn how to love ourselves, we have miracles happening. Now, if each one of you were to do the energy massage every morning, maybe, or every evening, maybe, or every morning and evening, maybe, if you were able to once a day or once a week or once a month or once a year, you'd have miracles happening in yourself. Because your body says, "I got a cold." Oh, I tell you, some people like to come to the table here and sneeze and cough and sneeze and cough and sneeze and cough. And their body is saying, "I'm just doing what you asked me to do. You told me I'm not whole and perfect. You told me I'm not wonderful, so I'm just cooperating." And little babies, they grow up to be uncooperative children because you don't expect them to cooperate. You don't expect them to always be right and do beautiful things. So tell your body you love it and you won't be coughing. Tell your body you love it, and you won't be sneezing. Tell your body you love it, and you won't have any little problems that'll come up and say, "Give me your attention," you know. Now, it's understandable that Christy would speak so strongly toward the medical aspect of Joseph, but the thing is, Christy, you are being a medical practitioner. You're being a metaphysical practitioner, just like you're being a metaphysical mother. And as a metaphysical practitioner, you never tell them to do it or not to do it. You just say, always follow your heart, do whatever your heart tells you to do, and let's know that their heart tells them to take whatever medicines they should take. Let's know with your heart that the baby is not going to fear being abandoned like you had experienced somewhere in your life. Or the baby's not going to fear having someone ignore it or hurt it or spank it or something like that. It's never going to fear it. Where does the baby get fear from? A father can take a child and throw it up in the air and catch it and throw it up in the air and catch it. And wee, 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 they're having such a good time. And then the mother comes along, "Be careful, don't drop him, don't drop him, don't drop him." Oh, oh. And that fright gets into the child, and that's his first fear. And so now he's afraid of falling. Not because of his father throwing him in the air, but because of the mother's fear of him falling and putting that fear into the child. You see how easily that's done, and how unconsciously that's done, and how you don't do it to put fear into the child. You do it because you want to protect your little angel, you know. And what you're doing is you're destroying them. You're destroying your angels by telling them that there's something to fear. And like one president said, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And that's true. So we want to begin learning only unconditional love for ourselves, for our teddy bears, and for our children, and for our grandchildren, and for our any child that we create in our world. Now, Ellen said, "Gee, Alfredo's two little boys are so wonderful. They're so fantastic. They're so glorious. They're so super, super, super." Well, now why? Because Ellen created them that way. Ellen doesn't want any kids in her world who are a bother, which is not a good idea, but she doesn't want anybody in her world who's a bother. She wants everybody in her world who are little geniuses, and those guys are and were. And they expressed it very beautifully. But the thing is, if Ellen had started to worry about them, "Don't eat too much ice cream, don't eat too much cake," get off it, your non-mother. You're not their mother, you know. Their father is sitting down there, and if he didn't want the kids to eat it, he'd tell them. And their two brothers, who are older than they are, and they're role models, you know. And what did the two older brothers do? I think one older brother ate his cake, and the other older brother didn't. The oldest brother didn't. To be a role model. so that the boys wouldn't feel they had to. And the older brother said, I don't want any ice cream with my cake. Now the father, I'll have ice cream with my cake. I'll have this, I'll have that, I'll have wine, you know. And so the boys had taken over as a role model, you see. Now the father did nothing wrong. And the boys did everything, you might say, right. Because they lived what they believed. Now, when you're holding a little baby in your arms, and it was just born, and you have the privilege of being the first set of arms to hold that child, what are you going to say to that child? You are an intellectually divine being. You are so stupendous, so superior. My goodness sake. No, you're going to cut a level. You're going to say, you don't have to use baby talk, but just, you are wonderful. And just mellow your voice. You are wonderful. You are fantastic. I love you, I love you, I love you. And mean it. I surround you with my unconditional love, and every moment of your life is going to be surrounded with my unconditional life. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you're going to be surrounded by my unconditional love, and everything you do is going to be fun, fun, fun. You're going to be yourself and have fun, everything. You're so perfect. You're so ideal. You're the perfect, perfect child. You're the ideal child. And you see, isn't that a lot nicer than giving it advice? Mm-hmm. Isn't that a lot nicer than getting in there and being so intellectual about it? We all have a tendency to do it, and we all want to throw at the little child our own inhibitions and limitations. If we were ever abandoned, my father went to town and he didn't take me. He promised he was going to take me, and he didn't take me. He abandoned me. My father didn't take me to town with him. My goodness sakes, you know, you always get your own way. And so you scream and holler and stamp your feet, and finally your father takes you along, and it's no fun. It's no fun. But you see, you felt you were being abandoned. And you were the one who was abandoning yourself. If you want to go with your father or mother or anybody, any place, you go up to him and say, oh, Auntie Sybil, you're so wonderful. You're such a neat auntie. May I carry your purse for you? May I take your bag for you? Auntie Sybil, you know, is there something I can do to help you? Well, do you want to come along with me to town? If you'd like to have me come, I'd be very happy to come. But my gosh, well, let's go to town. And then after we're done, we'll go get some ice cream and we'll go do this and that and the other thing. Oh, wow, you know. But, you know, how much honey, you know. You get the most of everything with a little extra sweetness, a little extra love, and a little extra gentleness. But now, are we taught that? No, we're taught that's manipulation. Mm-hmm. We're taught that's trying to, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with being nice to your auntie so she'll take you? If you're naughty to your auntie, she's not going to take you. Yeah, I don't like you. You know, I don't want to kiss you. You know, you got cigarettes on your lips. I don't want to kiss you, and I don't want to do this. Well, if you're a little girl and you want to go with your auntie, and you have to kiss her, and she has cigarettes on her lips, you'll say, "Oh, on you, that tastes so good. You know, your lips are always so wonderful." And you think to yourself, even with cigarettes on, your lips just are you, you know. And, wow, you know, is that bad? Is that bad? Yeah, you're all thinking about it. Now, think about it real seriously, that whatever you're thinking and doing, if you're going to live in this life, it's not your business to give advice to anybody about anything, even on your job. Even as a nurse, even as a mother, even as anything. You say to Joseph, Joseph, what would you like to experience? And you have this relationship. And Joseph says, well, I'm whole and perfect. Okay, if you're whole and perfect, think whole and perfect thoughts. Now you have created the doctor giving you medication, then take it. If you're going to fight the medication, then if you ever took it, it would hurt you. So don't fight it, go along with it, and if you don't need it, it won't have any effect on you. If you need it, it will do its perfect work for you. But don't fight it, just be yourself, and flow with whatever is your way. You can do anything you want to do. That's giving short advice, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But what kind of advice is that giving? Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Why did you put yourself in the hospital? You put yourself in the hospital so you'd be under the care of the medical people, right? Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you cooperate with him, but you still have your own opinion. Now, don't create yourself in that situation. Now, why is he creating himself again and again and again facing circumstances? Because he feels sorry for himself. He says, Herb, I know I'm feeling sorry for myself, but whenever I talk to you, I don't feel sorry for myself anymore. And I said, well, that's good, Joseph. But the thing is, you have to be so careful, because I don't want him dependent on me. I don't want him to think I can do anything for him or about him. He has to do that himself. If he sees himself free, nobody or anything can keep him from being free. If he sees himself whole and perfect, nobody or anything can keep him from being whole and perfect. Not even the experiences he has. He has had certain experiences that, which you, if you saw him, you'd say, oh, he has had these experiences. Well, Joseph has the ability to say, I am whole and perfect now, and all those experiences are gone. You say, Jesus, Jesus, sure, Jesus can heal. Jesus can raise the dead. Jesus can do these things. No, Jesus didn't. Jesus said to each one, do you think it can be done? You mean he said that to Lazarus while he was asleep in the tomb? Sure. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't go in there and lift him up and carry him out. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus heard him. And Lazarus could have laid in the tomb and kept on rotting, or he could come forth. Lazarus chose to come forth because Jesus expected him to come forth. And Lazarus wanted to come forth. He came forth. Did he smell? Was he rotting? No. Were his death clothes all messy? No, not at all. Not at all. No mildew. No nothing. Now, how long did it take? Remember the story I told you about Irene? Mm-hmm. Irene was in the hospital, shriveled up like a little ball because she had cancer and she let it get to her. And I told her, Irene, you don't have to die. She says, well, the doctor says, I said, the doctor says what you're showing him is that you're dying because you're giving up and you have not chosen to live. Now, if you want to live, you put a new cause in motion. And so she put the new cause in motion, and she had her family put the new cause in motion. She did everything that I had suggested she do. I was not the healer. She was doing it for herself. I was merely the programmer for her thinking in a positive way. And within days, she was putting on weight. Within a week, she was sitting up, and within a couple of months, she was home, and within a year, she was back on the tennis court again. From being right at the edge of death, from a shriveled up body. Now, you say, that's like impossible. Well, it is impossible if you're going to think of how can it be done. We know that we just put the cause in motion, that all is in divine order, and I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body now. Now, do you want to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want this baby to live a life of magic?
Yes.
Then see it, magic. And don't put in all of your own limitations upon it that are none of its business. That baby need never know a hospital. It need never know a doctor. It need never know poverty. It need never know anything in harmony of any kind. Because as far as you're concerned and I'm concerned, I am pure harmony. I am abundance. I am right action. And that baby is my reflection. That baby is my creation. Understand?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you for reading your papers. They brought many smiles to our faces. And maybe they brought a little bit of understanding of how easy it is to fall into the trap of saying things that we don't really mean, mm-hmm. rather than saying what we really do mean. And here with Ellen and Sylvia and Ingeborg, so experienced on this, being upshown by Christy and Sybil, so easily they said the right thing in the right way. Now you see how easy that is? So, fly with it. You liked it, huh, Ellen?
Yes.
Yes, I knew you would. I like you. I mean, I like me. I like him. I like you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.